We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When did your hair get so spicy?
Oh, yeah. He's on one. No one's got better Friday vibes than producer Yahir right now.
What? Imagine not calling him Yaya.
I know. That's so true. Good old Yaya. He's just doing back-to-back-to-back-to-back work with us. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, appreciate
it. It's a job.
Yaya's making it. Yeah, fair.
If we weren't live, he'd still be here.
You do pay him to do this, right?
Yeah. It was back-to-back-to-back work.
Yeah.
A work day, as some would call it. Work day.
That's what people are doing with 9-to-5s, too.
Friday afternoon.
Back-to-back-to-back. From 9s.
And there he
fives.
Is, digging in his bag on the couch.
Hi, Leroy. Yes. This is the Denver Sports Podcast as I stumble. Yes, thank you.
Who is our friend from the Super Bowl watch along? This is random. Just came to my mind. He was like 11.
Neil.
I hope he's hanging out today.
I know, that's the thing. I haven't heard it from him in forever.
Yeah, he left us.
he turned 12.
Yeah, he turned 12, unfortunately. So yeah, I'm here with my guys, just a cool cast of characters. We got Henry Chisholm there, who continues to annoy producer Yaya, so that's
okay.
That's really becoming one of the great rivalries in Denver sports and DNVR,
happening.
No doubt. Nathan Rudolph, Rudo, host of the Avs pod, living through some Denver sports history.
It's good times right now. It's good times right now for sure.
You're the one we needed here, Rudo. Everyone else is just kind of filler. But it turns out Brendan Vogt is not because he just came from a heated presser.
I'm glad Rudo's doing great.
Which he's living his best.
Tell me more about the Avalanche.
This might turn into an episode of Survivor. We might need to start voting.
I'm getting voted off immediately.
You're on the Dre is right there. Yaya.
It's true.
There's some options.
By the end of this, Yaya might be hosting this show by his own.
God forbid.
You're coming from in some ways, some Denver sports history that you've witnessed of your own.
Yeah, because ownership speaks so infrequently.
Yeah.
Like a bi-decade thing, it would appear. Yeah. Yeah, Josh Kroenke spoke with the media today. Love my billionaire friends. Always good to catch up with them.
I need more.
So, plenty to talk about, Dre.
Yeah, for sure. So this is an Avs Nuggets heavy, Western Conference Finals heavy kind of episode because the Avs are in it, because that's really the highest height the Nuggets have ever been able to reach in the NBA. And despite that, the Nuggets have actually been to the WCF twice before the Avs had been there last.
Yep.
Which seems crazy because, of course, that was such a habit in the Avs.
In the
first,
early days.
Yeah. I mean, first decade, 6-7 trips. So, but let's start with yesterday's game. Let's start with the games we've got to look forward to this weekend. Best performance we've seen from the Nuggets all postseason in that game, too?
From the Avs?
Yes.
Avs. What did I say?
the Nuggets. Definitely the best performance you saw from the Nuggets.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah. The Avs, they look like they might be playing their best hockey at the right time. Edmonton is a really good matchup for them, so they kind of they lucked out that it was them and not Calgary. And we've said it on our pod a million times. Look, go 1-0. You're not thinking about game 4 or 5, whatever it is, to win the series. You're just thinking about the next one.
Right.
You win that one, you feel good.
Right.
It's that simple.
It's so nice. Like, after that last series where they split the first two games, you're just like, oh, no, now you need to get one on the road. Like, there's so many different ways it could go, and it turned out just fine. Like, it always does, it feels like, with the Avalanche. But to start 2-0 going to Edmonton, it's like, yeah, split them and you're in great shape.
You say that, but, you know, last year they started a series 2-0 and lost 4 straight, so there's a little, there's some scars there.
Well, that's why Game 3 is so, I won't say fun, I'll say interesting. I'll say interesting, because what, was there utility in the Avs briefly going back to that dark place only to rescue themselves? Would that have been better than a smooth ride? Did they learn something about themselves? You know, mm-hmm. And so interesting to see if any of that presents itself in Game 3, Rudo.
It is. And, you know, this year's team just feels so confident in themselves.
Right.
They don't get down. They don't really ride those waves as much as previous year's teams have. So is it proof in the pudding, maybe, that, you know, they showed they could do it? Sure. But it never really felt like they were careening towards disaster like it did last year.
Totally. Especially because it's like the getting past the second round thing is honestly just nice for me personally, because I was so fed up with hearing people talk about it. It's like second round. Right. And it's like, I don't think that's a thing. Maybe if it happens again, then maybe we call it a thing. I don't think that's a problem. But just to have them go through that process, and that's also in the rearview mirror. You have your couple losses. Everything works out just fine. Like, it does feel like now you're just out there playing hockey and you look like the best team. And outside of the goalie situation, everything's going super smoothly.
And even that, I mean, what did the result in? Shutout.
Yeah.
Hard to ask for more out of your backup than that. It's, and look, all it takes is once to buck a trend like that. And, you know, no one could ever say, oh, the Avs can't get out of the second round again, for this core at least.
Yep. Sure.
But I think the end of round two really spoke more than anything about it. The Avs didn't care about that mantra. They didn't care about any. They didn't even care that they won the second round.
Yeah.
Those dudes came out in their pressers and were like, more work to do.
Yeah.
Go get the next one. So
I was at the game last night with my girlfriend. And, nice, you know, they have, I know, double flex.
Yeah.
But they show up like on the big screen before the game. They show like all the quotes.
Yeah.
And they're also like the lamest quotes. It's like, we know we have to have a businessman like attitude.
Right.
It's like, yeah, these are not the best quotes. These are not hype you up quotes.
They're
like,
the good answers, but they're not
exactly.
Good quotes.
I have the best job in the world. I am so jealous of every other sports player quotes, because hockey players just don't say things.
Yeah. Well, basketball players just tell us they hate us, so that helps.
Dude, I would take that over, you gotta get pucks in deep, work hard, forecheck, backcheck.
Rudo's just happy if he's told lower or upper body on an injury.
Right. We don't even know what injuries are in our sport.
Breaking news, it's upper body. It's like asking a golfer about their round. You're like, well, the greens were going real fast out there. The wind was going left, right. You're like, what are you, what?
You know, I thought I hit some good shots.
NASCAR driver. Car was real fast today. Isn't that under your control?
Every athlete should talk like a wide receiver. That's how
agree.
It should work.
I agree.
Every athlete, if they were just a wide receiver. There's a reason everybody loves wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like, they're always wearing their chains and doing all that sort of stuff. People get so hyped about him. If offensive lineman, if Dalton Reisner was out there talking shit about Aaron Donald, like, oh, yeah, that guy doesn't have, you know, he thinks he's strong, whatever, but he's never seen country strong. You go out there and say that stuff, everybody's buying a Dalton Reisner jersey.
MPJ had the most wide receiver quote of all time in a different sport. His first playoff run, he said, I think I need more shots.
Yeah.
Just give me the ball.
That's it. Yeah.
Can someone get me the ball?
That's really true.
I'm trying to team with the MVP.
Yeah.
Going into game 3, what's the goalie situation here?
Kemper still hasn't practiced, so it's expected to be Francois. Not even sure if Kemper's going to join them on the trip. So
right.
You're playing it by ear right now. Obviously, the Kemper stuff is a very who really knows situation.
Yeah.
He has blurriness in the eye. He took some pucks to the mask. Is it a concussion? Obviously, he had his eye nearly poked out in round one. Is there some lingering effects there? Nobody really knows. So it's one of those situations where he'll be back when he's back, and you just have to deal with it.
I'm going
to
go. Oh, please.
It might be a safe question. If he was healthy, does he start over Franco?
Yes. Avs will live and die with Darcy Kuemper.
Okay.
Unless he misses like 4 or 5 games and Frankie shuts them all out.
Right.
I know. Again, I went with my girlfriend before a game. She's like, what does Frankie have to do to get the job? I was like, I don't think there's anything he could do to get the job. And then he did that. And you at least have to have the conversation.
Yeah, look, the one game he started in this round is where you have to start for him taking the job.
Yeah.
He has to go out and play really well for 2 or 3 more games before it's a real conversation, though.
Yeah, and it's not really a conversation until Game 5, if there's a Game 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And no one really cares until we get to the next round, if there is a next round.
And I'm sure you got to keep Darcy's mind right. I mean, and goalies are head cases, as I understand.
Always.
And I'm sure they're looking for affirming quotes from their coach.
No doubt about it. You don't want him to end up like Jordan Binnington, that's for sure.
Shout out Jordan Binnington.
Anyway.
It's the strangest use of God-given opportunity. What do you think God does?
Well, I'm going to do. I'm going to put a water bottle in your hand as you walk past this
room. We'll get rid of all the recycling bins.
I just woke up this morning and there were eggs in my fridge, and God-given opportunity to make scrambled eggs this morning, so I had to take it.
It is true with goalies, though, where you get to the point where it's like, okay, Frankie has 2 good games. You kind of want to ride him into Game 5. Say he goes to Edmonton, gives up 1 goal, saves 60, 70, 80 shots over the 2 of them. You're thinking, like, oh, we got to keep this guy going. You can even just tell Darcy, like, I think we're going to wait another day, like, let your eye rest, whatever.
Well, I think the reality is, if he does start stringing together games, you just go to Darcy and say, look, we're going to play the hot hand, but if he has 1 bad game, you're back in.
Bad period, even. Mm-hmm. What a good problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of the eye thing.
Yeah,
once the eye thing's cleared up, great problem.
For us, probably not for
outside of the vision, whole reason Frankie's in, what a good problem.
Starting goalie having problem a vision problem.
Is yesterday's great performance more the defense really stepping it up? Is it Frankie? Is it a combination of the two? Kale seemed, I mean, their transition defense was really outstanding. Mm-hmm. EJ, to me, is playing some of the best hockey he's ever played as a Colorado Avalanche, which is just awesome to see from a veteran who we kind of like took for granted that he wouldn't barely even be on this roster at this point. Like, what are you seeing from the blue line there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both. First period of last game, certainly Frankie got a pretty good workload in, had a couple of nice poke checks that a lot of Avs fans are used to seeing going directly into their net instead of actually work. So those are nice. But the defense was miles, miles better, particularly Josh Manson. The difference for him between Game 1 and 2 was massive. And and yes, EJ's playing great. Yes, you have Makar and Taves. Yes, Byram has stepped up nicely. Awesome. But really,
love Bo's play.
It's that third pairing that you're looking at with Sam Girard out. You're kind of just get what you get out of Manson and Jack Johnson. Yep. And if they play like that, look, not a lot of teams are going to score very much on this hockey team.
Did he take a different approach, or did he just tighten it up? Did he just play better?
I think he just locked it up. There were some bad decisions in Game 1, which it happens. But more importantly, it's the Avs' biggest flaw this whole season has been puck management. And when they show up and they execute their passes, their plays with the puck, they just control the puck, and the other team kind of goes, well, I guess we just don't get to have it anymore. So he showed up in Game 2, made smart passes, made good decisions, and the Avs shut out the Oilers. So
not a lot to complain about.
Bone was really physical last night, I thought, too. Like, it seemed like he was up on the boards, like, maybe not even physical, but, like, talking to guys.
Oh,
and
there's
obviously the big play where
he
gets... But you just love seeing that, especially because I thought in that first round he kind of struggled. There were points where I was thinking, like, maybe you even pull him because he's turning the puck over, he's doing dumb stuff. And again, my hockey analysis, maybe not the best hockey analysis here, but he seems to have really leveled up.
It's interesting with Bo because he is one of those guys where he was on the third pairing in round 1, just kind of going through it. And then Girard gets hurt, and he gets elevated to the second line. And he does. When he gets more time, when he gets more opportunity, he elevates his game. And I think you're getting a little bit of a glimpse of the future, where he's a mainstay in the Avs top 4. Andre mentioned EJ, who
playing a great playoffs, mm-hmm. having a great time, but
unexpected. Yeah.
Well, it's great. You know, there's not much left in the tank, there, right? You're really thinking this might be his last real push
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's Byram's spot, not too far in the future.
And EJ, to me, he's one of those guys where, like, if we're going to touch wood during this whole thing, but like if they go through, they win the cup, he gets to go out on top, decides to retire after this season, I'd be real tempted to buy an EJ jersey. It's similar to like my Demaryius Thomas feelings when he goes, where you're just like, he really was a good player who was a mainstay for a long time and probably deserves more respect.
It's almost like I did a whole video about this on our YouTube channel.
That I watched.
Go watch.
What's the title of that YouTube entities. Video?
I wanted to change it actually because Megan came up with a much better title that was just Condor Lore. That's what it good. Should be called.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's actually called The Legacy of Eric Johnson.
That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
go watch that.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I did a pretty good job on it because half of the people are like, you were way too soft on him. And the other half are like, you were way too hard on him.
You struck a great balance.
Yep. Amazing. Yep. That's really great stuff. Wow. Love that, Rudo. And it's on the same YouTube channel you may be watching this.
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
But don't leave right now. Leave later.
Give us a thumbs up.
That's a good point, Hank.
We are the Denver Sports Podcast presented to you by Breckenridge Brewery Avalanche Ale. Big Rudo has one of those.
Every game,
and you can watch him on the pregame watch along or postgame. On one of those entities, you will catch mm-hmm. Big Rudo enjoying a Breckenridge.
Probably
Avalanche
all three,
ale.
Most of the time.
Exactly. Probably all three. That's how he does it. Speaking of where you guys can catch us doing stuff related to our sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook, I use them religiously. Put in a mistake bet on Kadri over 3.5. Meant to go in on one unit. Turned out to be 11 units. The old slipperoo bet hit. Boom.
Yeah,
boom.
That
big money.
Doesn't sound like a mistake to me, Dre.
No, it sounds like a great slipperoo. Call on the old slipperoo.
I think you just gamble. Everyone
knows you're a gambler. That. Yeah, exactly.
It's not a slip up I've made.
And right now, you might not be a gambler, but if you're a new user, bet $5 on the NBA playoffs to win $150. You don't have to get that call right. They're just going to boom. That's congrats, tight. New user. And, you know, that's on top of matching your first deposit bonus when you use that code DNVR. Must be 21 or older.
Ooh.
Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. I almost said $1,000. Why would I do that? Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And I don't know. You might not know. You might know. You can catch us. You can't catch Rudo's YouTube videos quite yet. But Ivaka TV.
All the live stuff.
Ivaka TV, yeah. You can catch all the live stuff. Henry, got to schedule some live buff
I
stuff.
I know.
Get you on Ivaka TV.
Talk about maybe somebody will transfer.
Oh, he was
it's possible to pass the deadline.
We actually, I thought he was about to break out a yeah, musical yes. number for me. Talk about it, talk about it. I don't know where this was going.
Man,
yeah.
Segment two is open in the rundown.
Yeah.
Henry was on. He was on the DNVR Nugget show. So are you this week, Trey? Thanks for coming.
Yeah, yeah,
Hank was
time,
on Wednesday. We talked to Jabari
also,
Walker.
Also, you're welcome from here too.
awesome.
No, yours is coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yours is. Thank you.
Yeah,
we talked to Jabari
welcome.
Walker, which was a fun episode. You know, not necessarily a guy mm-hmm. we expect to go to the Nuggets. But he's a buff, and he's in the draft. So if you're looking for more Hank in your life, that was a good discussion. Check it out.
Yeah, Ivaka TV, check them out as well. Thus, you can watch Altitude TV, which means you can watch the Avalanche, the Nuggets, the Rapids, the Mammoth. That's a lot of teams.
Arsenal?
On top of the Arsenal is not included in that package. You can also watch the Rockies. Ever heard of them?
We've heard of
the old hockey team.
We've
right?
heard of them. No, different
minor league affiliate.
Actually, more success than the old hockey team, surprisingly enough, but more successful than them. Yeah, Ivaka TV.
Yeah, the Rockies were bad.
They make being
they
a
bad.
Denver sports fan normal and good again. Go to Ivaka.tv/DMVR.
Are you good? Everything okay?
Yeah,
they
reading,
just hit a school zone.
Reading, talking, scrolling, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
No one said it was easy.
And also, I don't know, I need to change.
There we go.
But PHNX, they're big crisscross applesauce people over there, so I'll try that. I'll try that, and if my knee, which the really bet set has now ruined, doesn't
put your feet down,
doesn't go back to normal, you
you're
know,
making
that's,
Yahir uncomfortable.
See, the key is you gotta take those shoes off. All right,
that's
this is a socks pod.
Yeah.
Love the socks pod.
TDSP. All right, well, and on that note, we gotta move on. Ivaca TV, where you can see some historic moments in Denver sports.
Still in the ad read.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So, I'll throw you some stats, okay, Vo? And let you just tell me how you feel, okay? We're doing a little word association here.
Love that.
You guys can chime in as well. So this is the record of just like some of the greatest Nuggets players in franchise history in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
David Thompson, he's 0-1 as a Nugget. Everyone as a Nugget. Dan Issel 0-2 in Western Conference Finals. Second one, kind of a bench player, but you know. Alex English 0-1. Chauncey and Melo 0-1 in Western Conference Finals, and Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray 0-1 in Western Conference Finals. So we've got a trend here.
Yeah, are you just trying to bum me out, or
yeah, a little bit?
Is there a question?
That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah. That's a lot of zeros. The Nuggets have only made 4 trips to the Western Conference Finals. And lost all 4, 3 of those to the Lakers. Say what you will about the Kroenkes, but two of the 4 are under their stewardship.
Yeah, that's so, right. That's
50%, kids, which in baseball, that'd be really good.
Well, as we all know, 50% of 0 is still 0. Yes. So.
It's much better than those desperate startup Timberwolves. They would never sniff a Western Conference Finals loss.
They never
so
will.
I guess I'm kind of starting this off with will Jokic's legacy be different, and is actually winning a Western Conference Finals something this franchise can finally aspire to?
I expect it to happen. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. Any given year, it's smarter to pick the field than any team. Mm-hmm. Jokic is that good. If they don't get there because of health issues, organizational failure around him, negligent ownership, that will be what it will be. But is Jokic good enough? Is Jokic cut from a cloth of a championship player? There is not a shred of doubt in my mind. Of the names you just mentioned, some phenomenal players. I did not get to watch them all. I will still state confidently, Jokic is the best. The reason they didn't get another opportunity is injuries. So we'll see what Calvin Booth does here. See how they go from where they go from here. But I would be more surprised than not if the Denver Nuggets never play in a finals as long as Jokic is in a uniform.
It's wild that we've moved into an era of Denver sports where it's like, oh, yeah, if they're not one of the best 4 teams in the league,
unthinkable,
they're actually bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where the Nuggets are like, that's where it's at right now, for sure. For sure.
It is crazy. But I agree. I mean, what you've got, maybe conservatively, you've got 4 really great years from Jokic left. And we all think he's going to age really well, and you probably have 6 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah, it could be much more.
Totally. But minimum, you've got 4 good opportunities. And while it's smart to take the field in any given year, when it's 4 times the odds because of that, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, they should get in there at least once. Again, it's like MPJ's back is kind of the big question this year. But if MPJ and Jamal are healthy and nothing crazy happens, there's no reason they can't do it.
Maybe they never get healthy. Maybe it never comes together. They wouldn't be the first team for whom that happens. But I just think the journey we went through this year took us really far from the plot in terms of the last time that team was together, this all felt extremely attainable.
Yeah.
All of it.
Well, it's the last time they were in the conference finals.
And they were healthy. Yep. And right now it feels like there's been a series of critical failures since then. I don't know if that's true. And I wonder how instantly things will feel a little better. But for a team that went in the right direction years, whether it was uncontrollable factors or not, they're reeling a bit right now. And so they've got a rebound. That's what MVPs are for.
Totally. This was the first year since 2018 that they didn't at least make the semifinals. Which is crazy to think about when you think about like the tone that people talk about this team.
To not get home court was a big deal. Even with the injuries.
Totally.
And they knocked on that door.
Yeah.
So that team's been there routinely. You know, close is not enough for a fan base that's never seen the finals. But I think we all believe that if the organization does right, you know, does the right things around Jokic, we're not talking about is he the guy. He's the guy. Mm-hmm. He's the guy.
Well, yeah, I think we agree on that.
I think another key piece of the story there is, for the most part, the core of that team gets to stay together.
Yes.
For the foreseeable future.
Sure. Absolutely.
You're not talking about, oh, this guy could be leaving, that guy could be leaving. So
it's a great point. The sense of urgency around the failure isn't there right now.
Yeah.
And this is also one thing where this is one of my big takes. We bemoan the lack of attention, the coastal bias. Mm-hmm. It's an asset to Denver right now. If they are the Lakers or the Knicks and they go through these last 2 years and it's rehashed unfairly on SportsCenter every morning.
Blow it up.
Are they going to blow it up? Should they blow it up? All it took was another round, another team's failure, and we forgot about Denver. And I think that's a benefit to the decision makers right now, because that sense of urgency and pressure has blown up many a championship caliber teams.
Well, and I mean, you've talked about like factors that can blow up a core, injuries being one, and yeah, not having that patience to really see through. And I mean, I remember that 08-09 team that goes to the conference finals, really plays the Lakers neck and neck the first four games and then kind of falls apart. Injuries, massive. Like, Kenyon Martin's entire max contract basically is never healthy. Nene, same type of issue. And yeah, then they weren't able to really see it out.
Yep.
You know, for whatever reason, Melo kind of forcing their hand, George Karl's health kind of deteriorating things and what have you. But I mean, championship windows are small and like finicky and futile, and like you gotta jump while you can.
But also, there are teams that have fallen into that trap and accelerated their own timeline.
Yeah,
not to miss a window, not to be one of those teams. Yep. But you can fall short that way too. It's look, this final corner turning that, no sports fan needs to hear it. It's the hardest thing to do in any sport.
Yeah.
But again, when you have a guy like Jokic, you just give him enough cracks at it and that opportunity will be there.
Totally. And the crazy thing is now, like, there aren't many moves you can make. Like, unless you really do think you blow it up, and there's very few people who think that's a good idea. Like, it's what do you do with the 21st pick? You get to give out, like, the mid-level exception. Can you bring in veterans? You can make, like, trade Will Barton, Monte, like, whatever little deal. But while those are very small parts of what matters here, when you have Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and MPJ, and those guys are going to be deciding most of the games, Aaron Gordon right there, too. Those moves are so important right now when you're talking about the difference between getting through the semifinals and winning a championship. Sure. Where it's like, can you just go add, you know, trade up and get Benedict Mathurin? Is that worth it if you have to give up Zeke to get from 21 to
Bones?
9 or something?
I don't think they trade, and God forbid, yes. I don't want them to. I don't want it. Don't tell me I'm putting him in a trade. I'm not. But again, those tough conversations of, does the young asset with that fun firepower, is that what we need?
And now, at this point, that's going to determine whether you actually get through or not.
It's crazy, man. The Barton question is a big one. You know, obviously people feel differently about him in this town. My perspective will always be that when he was healthy, he was severely misunderstood. And as a fifth starter, a guy who gets you 15 points, 4 assists a game, like on an affordable contract. Like, once this MPJ contract kicks in, Barton is the lowest paid starter on the team. Yeah. Someone's got to be your fifth guy. Getting that right is hard. We talk about the injury window and what it took from Jamal and Porter. Mm-hmm. Will Barton was entering the peak of his professional basketball career. He put the best seasons of his life together amidst these serious injuries that have sapped him.
Yeah.
And so that decision now, you may at home feel, okay, it's a no-brainer to move on from Will Barton. Fine. But what that move is not a no-brainer. To Henry's point, it's easier to mess that up than you think, and you got to get those moves right. Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to get rid of a piece that everyone wants to move. It's really hard to make your team better by moving that piece.
Yeah. And I think they can, but that's, like you said, easier said than done, Rudy.
Well, and I mean, the other thing that I think gets forgotten in the frustration with how Thrill can play sometimes is he's a shot-creating wing who can play above serviceable on-ball defense.
When he was healthy, yes.
Those guys don't grow on trees.
They don't. And I don't think he can anymore. I think, actually, we have our answer. He can't anymore.
Yeah.
But to your point, finding that perfect fifth guy How many teams wish their fifth guy was someone else? I bet if we straw polled fan bases, it's a lot of guys.
Yeah, so of course.
I do think they probably do need to move on, particularly because they need to address perimeter defense. But these are the tough questions that that they're at right now. And that evaluation process, again, is all thrown off by that just wasn't the team they constructed.
Yeah.
The conversation about Will Barton was very different in December than it is right now.
He was great.
He was so good at the beginning of the season. It was him and Jokic out there winning games.
And he ran out of gas.
He did. And that's a problem, and that's good enough reason for me to try to flip him and Monte for whatever guard, Brogdon, or maybe it's not Monte. Maybe it's
even on a lower scale.
Totally. But it is a tougher decision, and he does provide more value than people expect. The good news is, like, if you're Calvin Booth sitting there, you trade Will Barton, everybody's going to cheer for it.
That's true.
It's going to be, ideally, you get somebody good back. But even if the guy you get back blows this season and winds up in the Bryn Forbes role,
right?
At the end of the year, people are still going to say, good job, Calvin. You got rid of Will Barton.
And you didn't draft him. You know, exactly. You're not Baltimore buddies. So
totally.
I think Calvin is ready to come in and make these choices. But again, just making them isn't enough. He's got to win these decisions.
It's important.
Yeah, this is a massive offseason. But again, I mean, that's why I wanted to kind of get into, like, it feels like, okay, yay, they finally got out of the second round. We don't have that. But it's actually, like, a historic moment that the Avs are. Like, to be in the Final Four of the NHL, NBA, that's a big deal. That's rare. It's not. You can't take that shit for granted.
It's been 20 years exactly for the Avs. There are many, many people in our live chats after games that have never seen the Avs in a conference final before.
Right.
So don't waste it.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, the years where they were in it every single year, most of the time it was in the Red Wings. Not even the same conference anymore. Yeah. Like, things change quick, baby.
Even happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Literally impossible.
Their star player and captain is now their GM. Like, you know, we're the time is now. The time is now. This is the time to make forever memories so that 10 years from now, you know, Yaya's children can speak on TDSP about this.
Also, if it happens, that's why it needs to be on TV.
That's because that's not Yaya came and teaches kids to talk.
Nice.
Got him.
Beautiful. But no, it's a big off season. It does feel like the NBA is in kind of a unique spot that it hasn't been in a minute.
Definitely.
So that at least feels like, yeah, the Nuggets are in flux, but everyone's kind of in flux.
I don't think you're looking at maybe Boston now.
What about Golden State?
I don't think you're looking
State?
At any one team and saying, like, this is a long-term, like not just problem, but unclimbable barrier to us in the title.
Yep.
Boston's a great team. These Warriors are a great team. They are not the KD Warriors, and that team is not in the the pipeline. Yes. Maybe the talent you're most worried about long-term is Luka Doncic. That's why they got AG. Sure. So,
and that was a 4-1 series, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Jokic didn't even have any help.
Get healthy. Just get healthy and you'll see. I mean, there's no reason to think they've fallen out of the top five. And so, again, you got to get this offseason right. Love to start that by letting your president walk and holding an emergency press conference. That's the best way to start your offseasons.
Does feel like there's some added pressure with that, though. That we are no longer kind of sitting idly by to let this kind of play out.
Yes.
Now it feels like
things are going to change. And as failures come, if they come, more changes will come too. And I mean, we'll see. Maybe that's all for the best.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
No, and you're right. I mean, oftentimes in the NBA, there's sometimes windows that are like might as well punt to the next window.
I know.
Because the Kobe, Shaq, Lakers aren't beatable.
You're
going to
get past
KD,
peak LeBron.
Right,
in the East. Yeah.
Right. At least you're in a window where it's like,
if anything, you have a chance to
things
be that
can
team.
Happen.
Yeah.
Things can happen. Kind of. We'll see.
I remain extremely excited about the Nuggets. I just, today of all days, I'm extremely discouraged about ownership embracing the moment.
Well, tell us more about that.
You and I talked about this on DNVR Nuggets. I look at the Golden State Warriors as a team that did such a good job of capitalizing on drafting Steph, Dre, Clay. Now, them doing that and winning, that's the hard part and the important part. But the Warriors are one of the first-class organizations in the world right now. They are one of the most valuable and marketable and recognizable brands in the world. I mean, particularly in basketball, but also in the world.
Yes.
And their facilities match that, and their coaching staff matches that, and the bill they pay at the end of the year, whether it's luxury tax or on facilities or on staff, that is a first-rate organization. They weren't before they drafted Steph. Things were not going great in Golden State. The Nuggets drafted Jokic, and we've all been on the Jokic ride since. But what have they done to inspire hope and belief that there's something bigger happening beyond just his presence? And by the way, the guy who brought him here is gone now. So I understand the most important thing is getting him. With him, you've got a shot. Without him, you don't. But what are you doing to put yourself in a position to convince people like him to stay, to come, like Tim to stay, and to convince the fans, maybe we won't always have Jokic, but we have an organization that cares. Right now, the answer to all those questions are no. It is just the Jokic ride, and that may be enough. It's super fun to be on. But other organizations have responded to this call.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets seem content to just be like, isn't it sick that we got him?
It's a chance to level up.
It's a chance to level up.
You're not going to get to Celtics level, Lakers level, anything like that, but you can at least jump up to like Spurs level.
No one has more control over leveling you up than you.
Yep.
That's on you. You have the resources to make this an attractive product. You have the resources to elevate and evolve as an organization. And when you don't, that falls on you. And I know this to be true because you've done it with the Rams. I'm watching it happen.
Yeah.
A lot of money going into that team. They're winning. Everyone's talking about the Rams. Stan can't get enough of it. Josh brought it up during the Nuggets press conference today. Sick. How does that help us? You've shown us you can do this. So when it's not happening, I'm going to follow that logic back and just assume it's your own negligence.
Yep. And it starts in Denver. I think that's the other piece is that like you're not just all of a sudden going to be like, oh, yeah, random kid in New York's wearing the Jokic jersey. That needs to start in Denver
right
and
now.
The games aren't on TV.
Get them on TV.
And you can't see them, so you're missing that chance, and then it expands out from there.
Where's the Jokic billboard? I don't care that he doesn't want one. Put one up.
There should be a mural of him here.
Where's the Jamal mural? Where's the Porter billboard?
When he mentioned the Avs operating at a loss, like that they're committed to winning and they're showing that in other... I mean, I kind of saw it in passing, scrolling through the timeline.
He did. He said...
So is that implying that the Nuggets are now going to do that as well to kind of pursue this window they're in?
I think his point was I had asked him about a sense of obligation to a city beyond just owning a business. Do you feel an obligation to build something you can be proud of?
Yeah, yeah.
He said yes. Go ahead, Rudy.
Just... The Avs operating at a loss. The NHL has revenue sharing, so they're not actually losing money on the Avs, to be clear.
And bigger picture, the value is going up. So even if you lose $10 million, if the franchise is now worth $20 million more than it was the year before because all this is happening, that factors in.
Every billionaire wants to tell you they're losing money on their team. They're all worth more money, and the team's worth more money every week. So someone figure that out.
Yeah.
That's all I know. But yes, he did point out that so when he said he does feel that obligation, and I followed up, I said, do you believe your father is meeting that obligation? And he said yes, and he cited the Avs are operating at a loss, but they're a winner, and we're putting them on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, altitude has been a disaster for us. We're funding that at a major loss. Those are his answers. I don't buy it. I don't believe him. I don't agree with him, but those were his answers.
It's so tough, especially, and we talked about this on our pod the other day, we just saw Nesson out east decided to acquire the streaming rights to it was not the Celtics, but or was it the Celtics? I forget.
It was the Red Sox and the Bruins?
Yeah, it was definitely the Bruins, and then it was one other team out east. Was it the Red Sox?
Well. Yeah.
And they put it out there. They're providing a way for people to get their product.
Yes.
And yeah, you know, Altitude has their DirecTV deal, and they've done things here and there. But you're talking about these teams as maybe at the same time the best they've ever been together.
Right.
And it just feels like there's more they need to be doing to put them in front of their hometown fans.
No. They're just content to letting it happen as opposed to taking it.
Yes.
And again, I see we did talk about the Avs earlier in the show.
I mean, what he's really doing is he would rather show you the bill that they are paying to justify what they're doing instead of actually investing money, providing solutions to these issues, improving that bill by improving what you've made this $1 billion resource.
With the one caveat being,
yes,
you have you are in the lawsuit. And so as soon as things hit the court, I do think, I mean, you can still always settle it and do those sorts of things. But once you make the commitment that this is going to be decided in the courts, that is kind of a commitment to making this take 2 years, which again is a choice that they made.
It is true. I mean, like, I acknowledge the hard spot they're in with the TV thing. Mm-hmm. Both things can be true. Yep. It's just also like we're 3 years later and there's no alternative. There's been so little talked about.
Yeah.
He did address the streaming thing today. He said it's not an answer you're going to love. He said we've talked to, we're in talks. We're not quite there yet, but we think it's part of the solution.
Yeah, and yeah, we talked about this on the Nuggets podcast a little bit, and I don't think any of us know the specifics of what the issues are with that. But Pac-12 Network, they have their deal with Dish, they have their deal with Sling, they can't get on TV anywhere else, but they cannot provide just they could not allow people to sign up to stream the Pac-12 Network because of the language that is written into those other contracts. Their hands are just tied. So you wonder what is happening with Altitude.
Yeah.
What flexibility they have, which again would be their own fault if they didn't give themselves flexibility.
Well, and part of what makes it frustrating is you look at the assets available to the owners of these teams, and you know they have the assets to do whatever they want.
That's precisely the case.
It's not the Ottawa Senators. It's not the Oakland A's, who are limited to a certain extent by the fine funds they have available just based on the wealth of their owners. The Avs owners at the end of the day could build their own television service if they wanted to. They have enough money to do that.
Yeah. It's tough. That's my thing. I mean, look, I understand the day-to-day stuff is different than like what you're worth and all that and the operating costs and the precedent. But even when they say we could take this deal and we'd have to lay people off, I even want to say, would you have to or would you be choosing to?
Yep.
But I mean, I will also acknowledge as hard as I'm willing to go on this stuff, I'm not privy to all the details. And I've learned one thing doing this job. It's really easy to sit in a chair and say, you're all wrong.
No doubt.
But yeah,
no doubt.
We digress.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'm sure nearly everyone in that organization is working their asses off to make it better than it is.
But there's a bottom line.
Exactly.
A bottom line.
When you lose Tim Connelly and you're not on TV, you're not killing it.
Convince us.
You're not getting an A+ from me.
Convince us.
Maybe you can show that it was so hard you deserve a C+, but you can't beat that.
How do you feel about their commitment to the Avs?
They've always been committed to the Avs. And they get to cheat a little bit with that because there's always been a hard salary cap in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So they know how much they're going to have to spend when it comes to player salaries. NHL coaches and staffs make good money, but it's nothing like a basketball team or a football team does. The NHL has always been the smallest money market of the big four.
Right. And a leg up with the success the franchise had so early on, right? Mm-hmm. How hardcore the fans are. I mean, look... You don't need to be involved in the Denver sports business to know that it's a lot more expensive to get an Avs ticket than it is a Nugs ticket on any given night.
And the reality of it, I think, and something that Kroenke has done very well for the Avs, is he's not Dick Monfort. He is completely hands-off of the hockey team. He signs the checks, he hires the guy he thinks is right for the job, and he lets him do whatever he wants.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good business.
Yeah, practice. Someone who doesn't mingle, I mean, there could be a lot worse for sure.
And the thing with the money is, like, first of all, it doesn't cost as much to run an NHL team. And that's great because it means that you can hit that level. You say we've got to pay 100 mil, whatever the salary cap is.
From the league. And
the other piece is there's no other huge money teams that are swooping in. You know, say Michael Malone turns out to be back-to-back coach of the year. He's doing incredibly well. The Lakers might just swoop in and give him a crazy deal, and then there's just nothing you can do about it. And none of us would be surprised if somebody like that gets poached. It doesn't feel like there's a world in which Bednar gets poached away because matching those salaries just is not on the same level that it is in the NBA. The disparity doesn't seem to be there.
What's the highest paid Nugget make per year?
I mean, whatever Jokic is about, he's about to be the highest paid player of all time.
It's going
to
be 50.
I don't remember the number. Yeah.
Like 50 mil per year?
Yeah.
So the maximum contract per year in the NHL is $14.5 million.
Yeah,
I mean, so
it's Will Barton.
It's just so hard to compare because to someone like Kroenke, the maximum salary cap of the NHL is chump change. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. He can just sign the checks. It's not, you know, they're going to sign a contract bigger than all of the Avalanche contracts combined for Jokic on the Supermax.
Yeah, that's nuts. Getting into some Avs conference final history. For seven seasons, they go to the conference finals six times, 2-4. Of course, the two times they win the conference finals, they win the whole damn thing. Seven times in the first nine seasons. And then after the lockout season, 2004-05, zilch. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not until right now, Rudo. Two games in, baby. And that's 18 playoff appearances and 26 franchise seasons.
I've been lucky enough to experience every single playoff run of this hockey team.
It's not a beautiful thing.
It's nice. It's nice. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously the early years were ridiculous. You guys kind of already talked about it. Most years in the West, it felt like it was Detroit and Colorado, and whoever wins the conference finals is going to win the cup. Unbelievable run, but the Avalanche fan base, I think, learned a lot in the 20-year gap because, for sure, when they first came here, I think there was a lot of taking it for granted of, oh, yeah, this team's just good.
Yeah.
They're always going to be good. It's going to be great. Dude. And then they were not good at all for a very, very long time. They learned that lesson. We come to a more modern team, and they learn the lesson of, yeah, you can make the playoffs, but winning in the playoffs is hard.
Right.
And I think it has built really, really well that now more than ever, the Avalanche fan base understands how special one time in the conference finals is, let alone five, six, seven, what have you.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is the Avs have never lost a cup finals.
I know.
If they win the conference finals, they've won the cup. Only team in the NHL to do that. That's actually been to a cup.
Crazy.
Finals. Yeah.
And so. Yet the cup final matchups are the ones that's scary.
Oh, yeah.
Like the West this year was really wonky.
Yep.
Where it felt like the Avs were kind of just in a class of their own.
Yeah.
And then the East was in this weird year where everyone's over 110 points, yeah. Right?
Yeah. The
and
East it was like, a monster. Shit,
whoever comes out of there is going to be sketchy. This is a Western Conference Finals only episode. We wouldn't even entertain that thought.
That's right.
Vo was looking at me for directives, so I wanted to clarify that for him. Predictions rest of the way in this series, Rudo.
I hate doing predictions this far in. I said it all year. We did predictions. I said the Avs would win over Edmonton 4-2. But when you make it to the conference finals, when you're one of the top four teams in the league, predictions don't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever people think don't matter. You go out there. There's a reason you play the games. There's a reason millions of people tune in to watch the final four teams. Is because everyone wants to know what's going to happen, and nobody does.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That is really true. We should just all start as analysts, like just a boycott. On the radio, they ask you for a prediction.
No.
Your official answer is, I don't know.
That should be the way that it is.
I'd be a gambler instead.
I mean,
like, as a reporter,
it's
like you're not really saying what's going to happen. Like if you're like the columnist analyst guy, like, yeah, but it does feel like that mix has turned into like everybody's either an idiot or you were right.
There is no correct answer. You can pour over the numbers. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, my model says this, that, or the other thing. And it's like, yeah, all right. Well, if we're just in a simulation and you run the numbers, then I guess the Avs win the cup. Good job. We're done. We don't have to play these games.
Right. Guess what? Darcy can't see right now. And who saw that coming?
Right.
Like, and then sometimes the reactions on Twitter are like, we didn't realize it was going to be hard to, you know, like go far in the playoffs, that these were going to be competitive games.
And also it's what? Like, they've won 10 of 12 games. Imagine if you go win 10 of 12 in the regular season. You're doing it against playoff teams. And guess what? In the regular season, one of those is overtime. That's 10-1-1.
Yep. We got the super chat. Would that be your predictions out the East, Rangers against the winner of Avs Edmonton?
I have the Bolts, if you have to ask.
Ooh, but yeah.
I think you have to.
They terrify me.
They did ask, I think.
Henry, do you have a prediction?
Oh, sweep. Yep.
Yeah, big sweep.
We've seen the last Avs loss this season.
Vo, you can give me a prediction if you'd like. I also have a little piece of Nuggets trivia for you.
I'm going to say five.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I was on the between 4 and 6 thing. It feels like 5 now. It's more on 6 entering it.
To Rudo's point, it's the play. It feels that way until it doesn't. It's the playoffs. Like the other team's exactly. Also good.
Right. If Edmonton wins game 3, it feels a lot more like 6.
Yeah. 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 Watch them win like convincingly.
These are my favorite discussions.
Yeah. Yeah, also, like, teams lose games in the NHL and NBA. Like, they don't just rattle off 2 weeks of nothing but wins.
Yeah. No one in the history of the Stanley Cup has ever gone 16-0 in the playoffs.
Maybe next year.
Ever. So.
Maybe next year, Henry. Yes, let's hope. In their 47 seasons as the Denver Nuggets, so not the Rockets. So this is two ABA seasons and then the rest, 45 years of NBA. Could you guess how many of those 47 seasons the Nuggets have made the playoffs?
No. Let me think.
Good answer. Good answer.
I am very much not a Nuggets historian.
This is harder than predictions.
Sure. I am of the Jokic era.
Yeah, of course.
Here's the thing. The Nuggets' tortured history has more to do with their inability to get all the way to the top than it is them being truly horrific.
There he is. My God.
47 is the number?
Yep.
I'm going to say 27.
30.
30. Oh,
that's pretty good.
You were about to say 30 and be on the money. I knew it too.
But yeah, two votes point. 30 of 47. Great turnout. Just 17 seasons and no postseason? That seems impossible, even. 75 and 121 is the all time playoff record, though. Mm. Eric was pointing out to me they would have to win like five titles. For them to get back to 500 on that in his lifetime. So
last time I was on here, I was like, who's the Nuggets' biggest playoff rival? And I'm like, well, they got to beat some teams back for it to be really.
We hate the Lakers with a passion. I'm not sure they're aware.
Is the Nuggets' biggest playoff rival the Nuggets?
Yes.
It might be. We just say Portland to feel better about ourselves lately, but they lost to them too.
A couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
After finally getting over the second round hump, Rudo, how many Western Conference Finals appearances should we expect from this core?
You need at least one more. If you don't get at least one more, it's a disappointment.
Man. Even two feels low. Yeah. But you're right. Nothing's guaranteed in life.
There is absolutely a world where over the next 6 years you see the Avs go to the Conference Finals four times. Mm-hmm. But the same thing that the Nuggets dealt with.
Yeah.
If Nathan MacKinnon tears an ACL,
not touch big wood for that.
The Avs are. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it does happen, the Avs are a completely different hockey team. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the reality of sports.
Do ACLs happen in hockey?
Oh, all the time.
Okay.
Nice.
What's the worst? What's like the nightmare injury? Like the.
So.
The Tommy in general. Hockey. Like for hockey, what's the last thing you want to hear?
Yeah, not like.
I mean, broken spine, probably, but the historical injury that has plagued some of the best players in the league are ankle problems. Mm. Multiple players have had wild surgeries where they get, like, part of their ankle removed so they can fit their foot back into a skate and crazy stuff. Mm. And they're never the same player. They're never the same player after that.
Need ankles. Ankles are important.
For skating?
They really are. Could you imagine someone like Cale Makar, the way he skates with shitty ankles? That wouldn't be super duper.
I was hoping you would just say lower body injury.
No, I should have.
That
would have
been good.
Sneaker Shack here. I believe if the Avs win tomorrow night, it will be a sweep. If they lose, as in five.
The great thing about where the Avs are right now is they get to play two games in Edmonton and they're both free rolls. So they win one of those and you feel great about the series.
Yeah, of course.
Vote, you've made me kind of sad about the Nuggets outlook, but Jokic or MacKinnon, who makes more Final Four appearances?
Oh, probably MacKinnon because of the Avs. I think the Avs are just so loaded.
Yeah,
to come
it does
back.
Feel that way. It does feel that way. They are tied 1-1.
They
though,
are 1-1 right now. I think Jokic will end up with more playoff MVPs.
Playoff MVPs.
I don't know. Is
love
that
finals MVP? Finals MVP.
It's all the same.
They don't have finals.
Well, the NHL is the Conn Smythe, so I kind of
But finals MVP.
Yeah.
Kadri for Conn Smythe, that's really good odds at plus 2,000. Why is that?
I wouldn't bet against Makar. But
well, luckily I jumped in early.
I wouldn't bet
Makar,
against Nate.
You have to bring AJ in. He's on the Kadri Conn Smythe train.
Okay. Awesome. Just go look at the last pod, I am told. You go look at Breckenridge Brewery and their Avalanche Ale because it's what Rudo drinks when the Avs are making history, damn it. And if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for you. Also, check out Rudo's EJ breakdown video, right? Let's give that a second plug there. Henry Chisholm, great stuff. Check out his appearance on the Nuggets pod this week. Really good stuff. Henry, do you do anything else?
I do so many things.
DNVR buffs, amazing stuff. Check it out. It's incredible work. And Brendan Vogt, legendary stuff for the NVR Nuggets. Held it down all week. Stayed late on a Friday to do this. MVP type stuff.
My pleasure, fellas.
We will be back next week with another spicy topic for you. Have a great Friday, everyone. Bye-bye.